All right, good morning. How are y'all? Before I start, I want to give one quick shout out to Mr. Richard in the back. Y'all, we've been married 30 years on Tuesday. That's a good thing. All right. God is faithful. I'm going to jump right into this, and I do feel a weightiness a little bit on it. So there you go. We've been talking about tipping the king in our series, and I'm going to do a quick recap of what we've been learning. In the first 2 weeks, Pastor Paul talked about how Jesus should be our number one priority. And literally between the two testimonies, I think they've probably preached this. So it's very good, which also tells me it's what the Lord is saying. Okay? It's just confirmation, but that Jesus should be our number one priority. And if he truly is our number one priority, we won't give him our leftovers. We won't just check off boxes that look like a good Christian. We will actually have disciplines in our life that reflect full surrender and not just a quick tip for the king. Pastor Paul reminded us that tithing is a biblical principle from Genesis to Revelations. And as followers of Jesus, the obedience of tithing is returning our first 10%, which really is just simple obedience that produces supernatural outcomes. Last week, Pastor Seth encouraged us to consider our time and our talents that have been given to us by God as another area of discipline where we can give God our first fruits and not just our last 5 minutes of the day. God is trusting us with 24 hours, and how we spend our time is a reflection of what is truly our priority. Time spent with God is never wasted, and he will always help us accomplish everything that is truly important. So, here we go. At the end of 2024, like around the end of November, beginning of December, God took me to a passage that we're going to look at today. And I strongly felt like that it was a word for 2025. I thought that it was just for myself, but as time goes on, I feel like it's a word for the body. When Pastor Paul asked me to speak, I knew that this is what I needed to talk about, but I also really want to tie it into the Tipping the King series. So can y'all just give me some grace on that this morning? We're going to see how the Lord puts it together. We're going to start in the Old Testament. And I want to set a few things up before we do that. The Old Testament stories, a lot of times, will give us a physical representation or a physical example of a battle that's happening in the spiritual realm. So we can look at the Old Testament, we can see the stories, we can learn them, the physical battles that actually happened, and then God can give us revelation of what that looks like in the spiritual realm today. I believe that there is a battle happening in the spiritual realm. I would actually say that there is a battle that is raging in the spiritual realm right now. It's raging. We don't see it, but it's there. Ephesians 6:12 tells us, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Our battle is not with physical enemies. Our battle is with spiritual wickedness in high places. And the Old Testament will give us strategies and blueprints of how to live victorious during times of warfare. Are y'all tracking with me? Okay. Kingdom strategies are going to require full obedience and complete faith. So I want to give you an example just to kind of set this up before we actually go into the text that I'm going to read. We all know about David and Goliath, so I don't have to tell you the whole story. But Goliath was a very real physical giant. He was very mouthy. He was very intimidating. He was very strong. And he had the Israelites, God's people, living in total fear, hopeless and helpless, not knowing what to do. David shows up, and he had been living his life kind of hidden out in the field, right? He had been out there tending the sheep. He loved God. And in that hidden place, he would talk to God. He would worship God. He learned about God and his faithfulness. He learned how to trust God, all while he was killing bears and lions out in the field. He learned to trust God in the everyday simple life. David was faithful in the field, and God showed up for him to fight the Israelite foe, the enemy that was against the region, right? David didn't put on the king's armor, and he didn't try to fight like everybody else. David used the strategies that God had given him in the field, and God helped him to fight the enemy in the land. David made God a priority in his life when nobody could see it. And God helped David to defeat the enemy that everybody was scared of. Do you see the kingdom strategies that I'm trying to show you before we get into the actual text? God was preparing David and building his faith in the hidden, unseen faithfulness of everyday life. So, your tithing that nobody sees will help you defeat your enemy. Your time spent with God in his word and prayer that nobody sees will help you defeat your enemy. And your decision to prioritize God above every distraction will help you defeat your enemy. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "The weapons we fight are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to pull down and to demolish strongholds." All right, that's just the setup, but do you get the point? That kingdom strategies are revealed throughout the Old Testament, through the history, the actual physical battles. And through those physical battles, God can give us strategies for our spiritual battles today. All right, let's pray real quick. Holy Spirit, we need you to fill this room, God. Teach us something new. Open our eyes. Awaken our hearts to hear from you, Jesus. We love you, God. Amen. All right. So Elisha with an S-H. Not Elijah, but Elisha. Okay. Elisha was a prophet in the land, and he would hear from the Lord for the people. Also, because of Elisha, because of his presence, the people were blessed. The king at that time was Jehoash, and he did not honor the Lord with his actions, but he knew that God's blessing was on the people because of Elijah. He recognized God's favor and God's blessings that came through the prophet. Now, this is a side note, but you can either bring God's favor and blessings and peace and joy into the people's lives around you, or you can bring strife and discord and confusion. It all depends on who you're listening to and who you're following. Elisha the prophet, he got sick, and he was about to die. And so the king, who recognized this favor on his life, the king went to visit him. And this is where we're going to pick up reading in our Bible. Now remember, we're looking at for the kingdom strategies that will help us defeat our spiritual battles today. So we're going to go to 2 Kings 13. I believe it should be up on the screen. When Elisha became sick with an illness, which he was going to die, King Jehoash of Israel went down and wept over him and said, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. Now that's very strange language. I get it. It's strange. But this is the king's way of saying to Elijah that he recognizes that their country has been blessed because of him. He was recognizing that God had been doing things for them through the prophet. So let's keep reading. Elijah responded, "Get a bow and arrows." So he got a bow and arrows. Then Elijah said to the king of Israel, "Grasp the bow." So the king grasped it. And Elijah put his hand on the king's hand. Elijah said, "Open the east window." So he opened it. Elijah said, "Shoot." So he shot. Then Elijah said, "The Lord's arrow of victory." In some versions, it says, "The Lord's arrow of deliverance." Yes, the arrow of victory over Aram. "You are to strike down the Armenians in Aphek until you have put an end to them. in a very prophetic way, Elisha is telling the king that he will still have victory even after he passes. He places his hand on the king's hand as if to say, trust me. He asks the king to open the east window. What's important about that is outside of that east window was the very real physical enemies who were coming against them. Out that east window, toward that way, in that direction, is where the enemy was. So he asked him to open the east window. And then he says, strike until you have put an end to them. Then Elijah said, we're back in the Bible. Then Elijah said, take the arrows. So he took them. Then Elijah said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. So he struck the ground three times and stopped. Everybody say he stopped. The man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have struck down Aram until you had put an end to them. And now you will strike down Aram only three times. Then Elijah died and was buried. Elijah continues to give the king instructions, more detailed instructions of what to do. And the king stops a little too soon. Elijah was frustrated and says, if you had continued, you would have seen complete victory. We need to continue to do what God says, even if it seems repetitive, nobody sees it, and it's like nothing is happening. The king obviously did not fully believe what the prophet was saying, or he would not have stopped so quickly. The king knew that there was an enemy out there. But by shooting those arrows to the ground, he wasn't seeing the immediate results of victory and deliverance. God is looking for a people who will simply obey him. Simply obey him. God is looking for a people who will send arrows of worship, arrows of fasting, arrows of giving, and arrows of prayer into the enemy's territory and fully believe that God is going to demolish strongholds. Let's not be half-hearted in our obedience like this king. I read a commentary in a different Bible, and it said this: receiving the full benefits of God's plans in your life requires us to receive and obey God's commands fully. If we don't follow God's complete instructions, we should not be surprised that His full benefits and blessings are not present. God is looking for full obedience and complete faith. Not a half-hearted, when I feel like it, and only when I have time, obedience and faith. He doesn't want our tips that give us the appearance of being a good Christian. He wants genuine surrender to His plans. So do you believe that God has a strategic plan to overcome the enemy in your life? Do you believe that God gives directions and instructions on how to have complete victory over the things in your life that Satan tries to steal, kill, and destroy? I hope you believe it. If not, I might start jumping. The king did not fully believe or understand, and so he stopped short of his total victory. John 10:10 tells us the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come, this is Jesus, I have come so that you may have life and have it to the full, or have it in abundance. John 14:6 says, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is our answer. Jesus should be our priority, and Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. If Jesus is Lord of our lives, we should not be defeated, depressed, worn down, disappointed, discouraged, and a weary group of people. Our salvation, our hope, our help comes to us because of the victory and the blessings Jesus won on the cross for us. when Jesus is our number one priority and when we're living our lives in full obedience and we have complete faith in His word and in His commands, He will help us defeat the enemies that are around us. Hebrews 10:39 says, "We do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved." Faith does not shrink back. Let's say it one more time. Faith does not shrink back. Faith doesn't stop when we don't see immediate results. Keep going until you have complete victory. You might be thinking, but what if God doesn't show up? I've been doing this for a very long time. And I'm going to say, but what if He does? What did you lose by being faithful to God? Not one single thing. The king did not have full faith, so his obedience was limited. It was limited. And limited obedience is actually disobedience. And he stopped before his complete victory. The arrows that we are shooting are arrows that look like faithfulness in tithing, giving, fasting, serving, prayer, reading the Bible, declaring God's word, Sabbath, communion, worship, and obedience to what God is telling you personally. When we are faithful and obedient in doing these things, we don't see what God is doing to fight our battles. We're not going to see the physical battle because remember, it's a spiritual battle. We don't physically see how He's protecting us. We don't see how He's preparing us for what's next. We don't see the enemies that actually pass over because they see the blood on the door of our houses and of our hearts. We don't see the captives that are about to be released when we pray, when we worship, when we fast. We don't see it. We don't see it, but I'm telling you, Scripture proves it, testimonies verify it, and in my life I have seen God's faithfulness to deliver, to heal, and to restore. Don't give up before the enemy has been totally annihilated. Don't quit before the final victory is won. Don't walk away from what God has asked you to do just because you don't feel like it anymore. Or somebody hurt your feelings. Or because you can't see what's actually happening on your behalf. I think as followers of Jesus, sometimes we stop way before we should. Way before we should. We actually might only shoot one arrow. The king stopped at three, but we might actually shoot one arrow. Sometimes we might shoot two arrows. And then we start to wonder, why are these attacks still coming? It might just be easier to quit. And we stop tithing because we don't have the money right now. We stop serving because it's just not what I need to do right now. We stop reading our morning devotions because God will be there when I show up, right? We stop going to church because X, Y, Z. There's a thousand for those. We don't fast because it's too hard. We don't worship. We don't pray because I just don't feel like it today. At some point throughout my life, I have said all of these things. I have made lots of excuses. And I sounded pretty reasonable. I could make a good reason for why I was quitting. I'm just saying. And the enemy took full advantage of my decision. It was my decision to stop. And the enemy took full advantage of it. Friends, I'm just telling you, don't stop. There is total and complete victory on the line. And let me remind you of this. The victory that you're fighting for could very well be, and probably is, for your family and possibly even your region that you've been assigned to. The enemy will return if he's not completely defeated. Yes, I'm just saying this because I can hear some of the things that people love to say when you start talking about battles. So I'm saying this. Yes, if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He lives in you and He has totally defeated the enemy. But we allow the enemy access to our lives when we choose to live in disobedience and sin. And then we give up way too soon and we wonder why the enemy returns. Yes, we are fighting from a place of victory. That is where we're fighting from. But there is a fight. There is a fight that's happening. And kingdom strategies, they look like giving and fasting and prayer and worship and all the things I mentioned earlier, as well as a Sabbath rest. The Lord reminded me of a New Testament parable that Jesus told, and I'm going to read it really quickly. It's in Luke 18. It should be up on the screen. Now He told them a parable on the need for them to pray always and not give up. There was a judge in a certain town who didn't fear God or respect people. And a widow in the town kept coming to him saying, "Give me justice against my adversary." For a while he was unwilling, but later he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or respect people, yet because this woman keeps pestering me, I will give her justice so that she doesn't wear out, so that she doesn't wear me out by her persistent coming." Then the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. Will not God grant justice to His elect who cry out to Him day and night? Will He delay helping them? I tell you that He will swiftly grant them justice. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth?" In the Message Bible, that last sentence says, "How much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on earth when He returns?" This passage started with pray and don't give up. And I believe that is like an arrow that is filled with faith sent into the enemy's camp. It says, because this woman kept pestering me. She kept shooting her arrows, y'all. She was like, "I'm just going to keep on doing it." Right? The judge said, "I will give her justice." Her persistent request released her breakthrough and her victory. Let me say that one more time. Her persistent request released her breakthrough and her victory. It takes faith to keep shooting when you don't see that victory happen right away. Will the Son of Man find persistent faith in us as people of the gathering or people watching online? Will the Son of Man find persistent faith in us, or will we be like the king that quit? I don't know what enemy you're facing or what battles you're fighting, but I do know our God sent Jesus to die on the cross so that we could have complete victory and salvation and peace and joy. As followers of Jesus, the victory is there for us, but we have to receive it by faith. Are we going to live in full obedience and complete faith, or are we going to give up before we see our enemies completely defeated? This year, I'm just saying because I do believe this is a word for the year. This year, you might have many thoughts of stopping or quitting, taking a break, pulling back, leaving. But my very strong, sincere encouragement to you is this. Please, 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 please make sure you have confirmation that it is time to lay those arrows down. Your victory, your family's victory, or even your region's victory could depend on your yes to continue shooting your arrows faithfully. I was talking to Pastor Tori about some of this while I was preparing, and she was like, "Oh, Bridget, that reminds me of a dream that I had." So I have asked her to come up and share her dream really quickly, and then I'll come back up and close.
it working? Okay. I won't be long, but last year was really, really tough. We were walking through a really tough season, and I was praying for someone very fervently and pouring my heart out a lot to the Lord, because there's nowhere else to go. He's my only hope. He's my only help. And I've told him that several times, you know. And just fervently praying for this person and not seeing any fruit, not seeing any change, and honestly growing weary in prayer. Like, Lord, when? I mean, growing weary. And there was one night I woke up from a dream that the Lord gave me. And there are some dreams you wake up and you're like, what does that mean? But this time I knew what he was saying. It was very short. It was very vivid. And I just saw myself standing in front of a huge locked gate door. That's what we'll call it. It kind of looked like both. And the person I had fervently been praying for was on the other side. And there were guards, and I couldn't get in. And I was banging on that door. Let me in. And the guards were, no, go home. There's no point. Go home. It's no use. And I was was defiant. I was like, no, I refuse. I refuse to leave. Until I see them, I refuse to leave. And they kept coming, no, you have to go home. And at one point, I remember stomping my foot, and I said, I refuse to leave this position.
That's right.
And then a little while later, they came out. I just wanted to see the person. The guards came and released that person to me, into my embrace. Breakthrough. And I woke up, and I was like, oh, God, you're right. He's like, don't you dare give up in prayer. Don't you dare lose hope or lose heart. I'm hearing you. If it's not good, if it's not victory or breakthrough, I'm not done. I'm not finished. Right. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking.
That's right.
That's good job.
Oh, you got it. Amen. What we believe matters. The king in our story did not fully believe what the prophet was telling him, and he stopped before his victory was complete. He stopped before the people were released. He stopped before complete victory. So I'm going to ask a series of questions here, and I just want you to think about or even answer if you want, but because what we believe matters. He didn't believe the king, and so his obedience was limited, which is disobedience. And he only won 3 times when he could have had total victory. So do you believe that God is all-powerful? He can defeat any enemy. He already has defeated Satan, right? Do you believe that God is good? He is good. Do you believe God Almighty is blessed by your worship? Do you believe your praise defeats the enemy? Do you believe when we pray, God hears and He answers? Do you believe fasting makes a way for deliverance? You need to be delivered of some things that you just can't stop doing. Fast! Do you believe tithing releases blessings and stops the devourer? Yes. And all of these I have scriptures for, but I knew that I would be pushing time, so I'm not reading all these scriptures, but if you want them, ask me later. Do you believe serving produces a harvest of blessings? Do you believe we are filled with resurrection power? I'm just saying, y'all weren't as sure about that serving thing. Serving will release blessings in your life. If you're not serving, I'm just telling you, you're missing out on some blessings. You just are. And we have plenty of places where we need help serving. So that plug was not in here, but. Do you believe in God's presence? There is fullness of joy. Do you believe God is good and His mercies are new every morning? Do you believe the power of life and death is in your tongue? That your words, what you say and what you declare, they matter and they establish things. Do you believe that a Sabbath rest is a command for your benefit? Yes, it is. And do you believe that Jesus is returning? Yes. What we truly believe will impact what we actually do. The king did not truly believe that those arrows were going to help him defeat the enemy. And he stopped and he only won 3 battles. God is looking for full obedience and complete faith, not a half-hearted, when I feel like it, and only if I have time, obedience and faith. He doesn't want our tips that give the appearance of being a good Christian. He wants complete, genuine surrender to his plans, even if we don't understand them. So we're going to end. That's right. We're going to end, and I want everybody to stand. I'm going to read a scripture. And then I think Pastor Paul is going to come pray us out. But I want you to listen to this verse. It's going to be up on the screens, or you can close your eyes and listen while I read it to you. It's in 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10. And it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he will exalt you. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by the brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." The New King James Version says that he will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. God has a good plan for us, and I hope that today you are encouraged to continue the good fight of faith. God is for us. He is with us. He is helping us, and we don't need to lay down arrows too soon. That's not his plan. We need to continue the good fight of faith.